Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. This was the week defense contractors learned that geopolitical tailwinds can't rescue fundamentally stretched valuations.
20% drops across the board. Lockheed, Northrop, Raytheon, all getting hammered despite what should be the perfect operating environment.
And that's exactly what makes this fascinating. On paper, you've got the Iran conflict, massive defense spending authorizations, and Pentagon procurement cycles accelerating. But the market said not at these prices.
So what are we diving into today?
Three signals that explain why this week mattered. First, the defense industrial complex hit a valuation ceiling that even war premiums can't breach. Second, we're seeing the early signs of a structural shift in airline cost curves that nobody's pricing in yet. And third, Boeing's showing resilience that suggests the regulatory overhang might finally be stabilizing.
Let's start with the narrative, because this wasn't just another red week for aerospace.
This week's narrative was the collision between stretched valuations and operational reality, even in sectors where the fundamentals should be bulletproof.
You're talking about defense, but it goes deeper than that. The market finally said, "Show me the execution, not just the opportunity."
Exactly. Operationally, we're seeing companies with massive backlogs and guaranteed government revenue streams still struggling to convert that visibility into sustainable margin expansion.
And from an investor perspective, that means premium multiples are getting compressed regardless of how attractive the end markets look on paper.
Which brings us to the most important signal this week.
The most important signal this week came from the defense sector's inability to hold gains despite optimal external conditions.
Operationally, this tells us that supply chain constraints and labor inflation are overwhelming even the most favorable demand environment we've seen in decades.
For investors, it's a warning shot that sector rotation into defense has reached peak crowding, and the easy money has already been made.
Let's talk numbers, because this week's performance data tells a clear story. TSA screened 12.5 million passengers, which is up 2.7% year over year and 2.4% higher than the three-year average.
Travel demand stays solid, but that didn't help airline stocks. United down 6%, JetBlue down over 8%. Even Southwest couldn't hold up.
The disconnect is fuel costs. Brent crude hit $82 this week, and jet fuel is at $1,000 per ton for the first time in 30 months.
Right, but here's what's interesting. American only dropped 1%. They're showing relative resilience.
That's their hedging strategy paying off. They locked in fuel costs before this Iran situation escalated.
Now look at the defense numbers. Lockheed down 12%, Northrop down 12.5%. These are companies with $100 billion backlogs.
RTX was the worst of the big primes, down 11% despite filing an 8K that should have been positive.
What matters is the magnitude of these moves. You don't get double-digit drops in defense stocks during an active conflict unless something fundamental is broken.
The more important signal is that investors are finally distinguishing between revenue visibility and margin quality.
Even in aerospace suppliers, we're seeing that distinction. Howmet down 5%, HECO down almost 10%.
But the real story behind these numbers is valuation reset. These weren't profit-taking moves. They were structural repricing of risk premiums. The first supporting signal here is that defense contractors are hitting operational limits that no amount of demand can overcome. RTX's 8K this week supports this because their earnings beat came with revised margin guidance that disappointed.
The market's saying, okay, you can book the revenue, but can you deliver it profitably?
Exactly. And Lockheed's filing reinforces this from the other direction. Their item 2.02 disclosure on results shows record backlog growth, but also acknowledges supply chain pressures that are compressing timeline visibility.
Hold on, though. Record backlog should be good news. Why is the stock getting crushed?
Because investors are learning that backlog quality matters more than backlog quantity. If you can't execute on schedule, those contracts become margin killers.
That's the shift. 6 months ago, defense investors were focused purely on top-line growth. Now they're asking about delivery schedules and cost inflation.
Northrop's 8K tells the same story. Item 2.02 filings show strong quarterly results, but the stock dropped 12.5% because their guidance implies margin pressure in the back half of the year.
And that's with the Pentagon basically writing blank checks right now.
Which tells you the constraints are internal, not external. Labor costs, supply chain disruptions, production bottlenecks. These are operational execution problems that government spending can't solve.
So when does this become a restructuring story versus just a margin compression story?
When companies start missing delivery milestones contractually, we're not there yet, but another quarter of execution headwinds gets you close.
The tone across this week's defense filings was hardened compared to last quarter. More cautious language around timelines, more hedging on cost inflation.
What connects these filings is admission that current operating leverage is unsustainable. Even with perfect demand conditions, they can't scale profitably at these labor and input costs.
Which explains why the stocks are getting hammered despite the geopolitical backdrop. The market's pricing in a productivity crisis, not just margin pressure.
And that productivity crisis is structural, not cyclical. You can't throw money at skilled aerospace labor shortages or rare earth material constraints.
So the question becomes whether this is temporary disruption or permanent impairment of returns on invested capital.
Based on what we're seeing in these filings, it's looking more permanent than temporary. These companies are acknowledging they need to fundamentally reshape their cost structures.
The second supporting signal is emerging from the airline sector, and it's the opposite story. We're seeing the early stages of structural cost improvement that nobody's talking about.
You're looking at American's filing, aren't you?
Their 8K from April 20th shows something really interesting. Revenue up 12% year over year, but here's the kicker. Unit costs ex fuel are actually declining.
That shouldn't be possible in this labor environment. Flight attendants and pilots are getting massive pay raises across the industry.
But Americans finding efficiencies elsewhere. Fleet utilization is up, they're optimizing route networks, and their maintenance capex is coming down as they retire older aircraft.
I don't buy that this is sustainable, though. The fuel hedging masks the real cost pressure they're facing.
Maybe on fuel, but look at their operational metrics. Load factors are holding up despite capacity increases, which means pricing power is real.
Alaska's filing tells a different story, though. Their 8K shows they're struggling with exactly these cost pressures you're saying American is managing.
Different scale, different network. Alaska doesn't have American's hub dominance or international diversification.
Fair point, but the market's not making that distinction. Alaska down 4.5%, American down 1%. That's not a huge spread given the operational differences.
Because investors haven't figured out yet which airlines have sustainable competitive advantages in this cost environment.
Southwest is the test case. They historically had the lowest unit costs, but they're down 6% this week because they have zero fuel hedging.
Right? And their 10Q filing this week shows they're burning through cash to maintain capacity while competitors with better hedging are gaining market share.
So the signal here is that competitive dynamics within airlines are shifting faster than stock prices are adjusting.
Exactly. American's relative outperformance this week isn't noise. It's early evidence of operational differentiation that the market's just starting to recognize.
The common thread across airline filings this week was acknowledgement that the easy reopening gains are over. Now it's about operational execution and cost management.
Which means stock picking in airlines becomes way more important than sector allocation.
This brings us to divergence and sector positioning, because this week crystallized a fundamental question. Are we looking at cyclical disruptions or structural shifts?
That's the key distinction investors need to make right now, because your positioning depends entirely on whether you think these pressures are temporary or permanent.
Let's start with the cyclical view on defense. Lockheed down 12%, Northrop down 12.5%. If this is just labor shortages and supply chain kinks working themselves out, these are massive buying opportunities.
The cyclical bull case is straightforward. Pentagon spending is guaranteed, backlogs are at record highs, and these operational headwinds eventually resolve as companies scale up production capacity.
But here's where I disagree with that framing. What we're seeing in defense isn't cyclical disruption. It's structural obsolescence of the entire defense industrial base.
That's a pretty aggressive take. Structural obsolescence?
Look at the timeline realities. RTX's 8K acknowledges delivery delays that push major programs out 18 to 24 months. That's not supply chain noise. That's fundamental capacity constraints.
Okay, but capacity constraints get solved with investment. The Pentagon's throwing money at this problem.
Money doesn't create skilled aerospace engineers overnight. You're looking at 5 to 7 year lead times to meaningfully expand technical workforce capacity.
So you're saying defense primes are structurally uninvestable?
Not uninvestable, but they're value traps at current multiples. Lockheed trading at 15 times earnings when they can't deliver on schedule is not a bargain.
Fair enough on defense, but what about the airline divergence? You've got American showing relative strength while the sector gets hammered.
That's where the cyclical versus structural debate gets really interesting. American's operational improvements look structural to me.
How so?
Their unit cost improvements aren't coming from temporary factors like fuel hedging. They're right-sizing their network, optimizing fleet utilization, and benefiting from scale advantages that smaller carriers can't replicate.
But that's exactly the cyclical argument. As travel demand normalizes, those efficiency gains become harder to sustain.
I disagree. The structural shift is that the airline industry is finally consolidating around players with genuine competitive moats.
You mean the hub fortress model?
Hub dominance, international feed, corporate contract concentration. These are structural advantages that become more valuable in a high-cost environment.
So you're structurally bullish on legacy carriers and structurally bearish on low-cost carriers.
Look at this week's performance. Frontier down 18%, Allegiant down 12.5%. The low-cost model breaks down when fuel costs spike because they don't have network diversification.
But historically, low-cost carriers gain share in economic downturns because consumers trade down.
This isn't an economic downturn, though. This is a supply shock that hits fuel costs specifically. That changes the competitive dynamics completely.
All right. So if you're positioning for structural shifts rather than cyclical recovery, what does that portfolio look like?
You're underweight defense at these valuations, overweight airlines with operational differentiation, and completely avoiding anything exposed to fuel costs without hedging protection.
I'm not ready to give up on defense entirely, though. The geopolitical environment isn't going away, and these companies do have genuine moats around classified programs and security clearances.
The moats are real, but the returns on invested capital are getting permanently impaired. That's the structural change.
What about Boeing? They're up 3% this week while everything else is getting crushed.
Boeing's the most interesting structural story of all. Their relative outperformance suggests the regulatory overhang is finally stabilizing.
You think the worst is behind them?
Not the worst, but the uncertainty is reducing. Their 10Q filing shows they're managing through the production constraints better than expected.
And from a positioning perspective, Boeing benefits from exactly the supply chain constraints that are hurting defense primes.
How's that?
Airlines can't get new aircraft, so they're stuck paying Boeing's prices for the planes they can deliver. It's a seller's market despite all the regulatory issues.
That's actually a great point. Boeing's operational problems become competitive advantages if Airbus can't deliver either.
So structurally, you want exposure to companies with irreplaceable products and services, regardless of their current operational challenges.
Which brings us back to the core positioning question. Are you betting on mean reversion or secular change?
This week's performance suggests investors are finally making that distinction. The indiscriminate selling is over.
Agreed. Stock picking becomes critical when cyclical and structural forces are moving in opposite directions across the same sector.
That brings us to the week ahead, and there's a lot to watch beyond just the ongoing Middle East situation.
Earnings season continues, and we're getting some critical reads on how companies are managing through these operational pressures we've been discussing.
Delta reports Thursday, which is going to be the real test of whether Americans' operational outperformance this week was company-specific, or if legacy carriers broadly are finding their footing.
Delta's the ultimate execution story in airlines. If their margins are holding up despite fuel cost inflation, that validates the structural differentiation thesis.
On the defense side, we're watching for any updates on program timelines. The Pentagon's been remarkably quiet about delivery delays, but that can't last if contractors keep pushing schedules out.
General Dynamics reports Tuesday, and they've historically been more conservative in their guidance than the other primes. If they're acknowledging execution headwinds, that's a sector-wide signal.
Boeing's also worth watching, not for earnings, but for regulatory developments. The FAA's been reviewing their production processes, and any updates on certification timelines could move the stock significantly.
I'm more interested in the macro environment, though. Oil prices have stabilized around $80, but if the Strait of Hormuz situation deteriorates further, you're looking at triple-digit crude.
Which would be catastrophic for airlines without fuel hedging. Southwest, JetBlue, most of the low-cost carriers would see massive margin compression.
That's the binary outcome that determines whether this week's airline divergence continues or if the whole sector gets taken out by external factors.
From a geopolitical perspective, we're also watching European airspace restrictions. If the conflict expands beyond the immediate Middle East theater, you're looking at global flight pattern disruptions.
Which would actually benefit domestic U.S. carriers at the expense of international routes. Another structural shift that's hard to predict but easy to position for once it happens.
The other thing I'm monitoring is defense contractor guidance revisions. We saw hints of this in this week's filings, but companies have been reluctant to formally lower margin expectations.
Because they don't want to acknowledge that current contracts were priced assuming operational efficiencies they can't achieve.
Exactly. But if labor costs keep inflating and supply chains don't stabilize, something has to give.
TSA data continues to be critical. This week's passenger volumes were solid, but we need to see if that holds up as fuel costs get passed through to ticket prices.
Americans already announced fare increases across most domestic routes. The question is whether demand is elastic at these new price points.
And internationally, we're watching how airlines manage route suspensions. Every Middle East route cancellation is lost revenue that's difficult to replace in the short term.
The earnings guidance from companies reporting this week is going to be critical for setting second quarter expectations across the sector.
Particularly around capital expenditure. Airlines were planning fleet expansion. Defense contractors were investing in capacity. Those plans are getting stress tested by current conditions.
Which brings us back to the positioning question. Are you buying these dips if you believe in structural improvement, or are you waiting for more clarity on external factors?
For me, the week ahead is about confirmation or rejection of the differentiation thesis. Do the strong operators continue to outperform, or do external factors overwhelm company-specific advantages?
That's the key question. And we should have a lot more clarity by Friday's close.
So let's synthesize what this week revealed about where we are in the aerospace and defense cycle.
The headline story was broad-based selling, but the real story was differentiation. Companies with genuine operational advantages held up better than those riding purely on sector momentum.
What we learned is that even perfect external conditions can't overcome fundamental execution problems, but strong operators can still compound advantages even in challenging environments.
The defense sector showed us that valuation discipline matters more than ever. Record backlogs and guaranteed government spending don't justify premium multiples if you can't convert revenue into sustainable margins.
Airlines taught us the opposite lesson, that operational differentiation is undervalued when investors are focused on sector-wide headwinds like fuel costs.
Boeing's resilience this week suggests that regulatory uncertainty, while real, might be less of an overhang than operational execution capability.
Looking forward, the key insight is that stock selection becomes critical when cyclical and structural forces are moving in opposite directions.
The market's finally making distinctions between companies that can execute and companies that can't, regardless of how attractive their end markets appear.
Which means passive sector exposure is probably the wrong approach right now. You need conviction around specific company capabilities.
This week marked a transition from momentum-driven aerospace investing to fundamentals-driven aerospace investing.
And in that environment, the winners are companies with sustainable competitive advantages and the discipline to maintain them through difficult operating conditions.
The synthesis here is that aerospace is becoming a stock picker's market, where operational excellence matters more than sector allocation, and where structural advantages are finally being distinguished from cyclical tailwinds.
That wraps our analysis for this week. Thanks for joining us on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.
We'll be back next week with more insights from the intersection of aerospace, defense, and capital markets.
Until then, keep watching the execution, not just the opportunity. Disclaimer: this podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice. The host may hold positions in securities discussed. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry.
Want the inside track on aviation's biggest players? Aviation Intelligence Weekly brings you expert analysis of airline earnings, breaking industry news, and deep dive company histories. From American Airlines to Boeing, we cover the business of flight every week. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.